Let's go ahead and start then. Agenda paper 7 on IAS 32, and we have Ms. Biggie on the screen from the FASB. So take it away, Liz.
Okay, thanks. In May, you discussed how an issuer would classify three financial instruments under IAS 32. None of the instruments had a maturity date, but each gave the holder the contractual right to redeem at any time. The holder's redemption right was described differently for each of the three instruments, but in each case, if the holder exercised its redemption right, the issuer could choose to settle the instrument either in cash or a fixed number of its own equity instruments. At the May meeting, you noted that in light of existing IFRS requirements, an interpretation is not necessary, and therefore you tentatively decided not to add this issue to your agenda. Specifically, you noted that IAS 32 requires an issuer to classify an instrument in accordance with the substance of the contractual arrangement. So if the contractual substance is the same, the resulting classification would be the same. You also noted that if the issuer has a contractual right to choose to settle a non-derivative in cash or a fixed number of its own equity instruments, that instrument would meet the definition of equity. That is, as long as an obligation to deliver cash isn't established indirectly through the contractual terms or conditions. After considering the comments received on the tentative agenda decision, we recommend that you finalize your decision not to add this issue to your agenda. We believe that a non-derivative meets the definition of equity in its entirety if the issuer has the contractual right to choose to settle the instrument in cash or a fixed number of its own shares. And we believe that such an instrument would meet that definition irrespective of whether the cash settlement alternative is fixed or variable. There are two questions for you today. Do you agree with the staff's recommendation to finalize the decision not to add this issue to your agenda? And if so, do you have any comments on the proposed wording in Appendix A for the final agenda decision?
Comments? Reinhardt?
I'll comment because I guess we were one of the comment letters that was sent in, and I noted the staff's analysis of the issue being whether the agenda decision should note that the cash was fixed for redeemable at the issuer's option for a fixed amount of cash or not, which raises the whole issue, if it's not fixed, is there an embedded derivative that needs to be separated? I think the proposed agenda decision, by adding in the paragraph that's saying you need more analysis where there's more complex structures, is helpful. My suggestion is simply to deal with this specific issue is in the introductory paragraph where it says that the issuer has a contractual right to choose to settle the instrument for cash, is simply to reiterate the facts of the case, which was cash for par plus accrued interest, which I think we would interpret as being a fixed amount. So just replaying part of the inherent facts, if we don't want to get into a great amount of technical analysis as to whether an instrument that otherwise would be an equity instrument has an embedded derivative that needs to be separated.
Reactions to that, anyone? So you're suggesting that we just rework the first paragraph to be a little more clear about what the question was that we were asked,
right,
and we're answering that question.
Correct.
You would then still leave in the proposed additional wording that says if the question's harder, you need to think harder. And
right. That's a helpful paragraph.
Any objections to that approach? Liz?
Just one comment that might be relevant. In the submission itself, that fact wasn't given, so the submission itself was actually silent on what the cash settlement alternative was. It just said that there was one and that it didn't trip the indirect obligation to deliver cash. Now, as we talked about in May, because I wanted to make sure that my analysis was complete, I did reach out on an informal basis to the submitter, and I asked follow-up questions about the cash amount, and we did receive that supplementary information on an informal basis. But I just did want to remind members that bit of the fact pattern was not actually included in the submission.
But your outreach was documented in the agenda papers, so we've got an audit trail.
No, Wayne, it wasn't, because it didn't affect my analysis, and because it was not included in the submission itself.
That kind of blows that one. So I don't think without that audit trail that we can make the addition. Tony?
I was just going to say that we wouldn't think it would be necessary. We probably agree with the staff on this one, that's not an essential part of the analysis. So I know we have a different view to Reinhardt, but I don't think I would see that as being necessary additional words, even if you haven't just blown it out.
Others? Andrew?
I also am happy with the form of words in the staff paper. I mean, it does get into the question of the order in which you apply different parts of IAS 32. Do you componentize first and then classify, or as the paper suggests, you can classify the entire instrument if it meets the definition of equity in its entirety. You don't then need to go on to the classification paragraph. So there is, I think, more interpretation in the form of words in the agenda paper than there would be in Reinhardt's alternative formulation, but on this one I do agree with the staff.
Anyone object to the staff paper?
Chung Wu has a question.
You had a question?
Chung Wu? I agree with the staff conclusion, but we might need some kind of improvement in IS 32 because IFRS 2 looks inconsistent with the some guidance in IS 32, and I think the conceptual framework is on discussion paper. That's one of the chapters is focusing on distinction between these debt and equities. But this is not an issue of ours now, but how about recommending the board to think more fundamental analysis of IS 32 to clearly differentiate the debt and equity based on this analysis.
Alan, debt equity is part of the out of the research agenda, is it not?
Yeah, debt equity. There are two parts of debt equity. One is because obviously the definition of equity and liabilities in the framework.
Yeah.
In fact, Manuel's doing some work on that. I don't know if he's here, but Manuel's doing some work on that. I think as part of that, testing some particular instruments against it. So that's sort of a parallel process. Because ultimately, it depends on what we do in the framework. But if we define a liability, it's essential characteristics, and say equities, whatever's left, essentially, we'll do the other way around. We're still going to have to deal with particular instruments and ultimately replace IS 32. So that work is sort of being done now as in parallel with the thinking.
Okay.
But it'll feed through into the research program, basically.
Yes, looking at particular instruments was so much fun last time.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, Philippe?
I do have a small question on the wording of the decision, proposed decision, second paragraph. Lizzie, you say, if the contractual substance of the financial instrument is the same, I would ask the same as what? Because you have a general statement that IS 32 requires to classify in accordance with the substance. And then you go on saying it's the same. And I can't really read that sentence. I'm asking the same as what? The same as?
As each other.
Yeah.
Okay. Here we're talking about the three different instruments which are the object of the request. It's not very clear how the two paragraphs link together. Maybe you should say if the substance of those three instruments is the same. Because this sentence links to the first paragraph, not to the first sentence in the second paragraph, I think. Am I clear?
Don't seem to be
we'll,
clear.
We'll enough. Take it on. Yeah, we'll think on it. Anybody else? Okay. None appearing, we will move forward. Liz, you'll think on Philippe's suggestion and see how we can adjust the wording if necessary.
Yes, I will.
And I'm sure glad we didn't pay for you to fly over to this.
It's always good to be there in person, though.
Okay. Thank you, Liz.